second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this rainy and cold Wednesday. Good thing we're inside. Nothing to do outside. We say hello and good morning to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Joe, what's up?
How you guys doing?
How's quarantine life?
You know, it's probably the same as everyone. I'm definitely checking out what long hair looks like. I mean, I'm getting close to, like, in the late 80s, at one point I sort of got a little mullet going, and then my dad, military guy, was like, nah, we're chopping that off. So I think I'm close to, like, exceeding that probably in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, I did have a mullet.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A permed? Did you have a permed mullet?
Didn't have a perm. No permed mullet. It was feathered. I think it's probably feathered mullet.
Oh, that's also beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people tilting their head going, don't even understand what you guys are talking about. The University of Tennessee has just announced that their plans, their intentions, are to have fall classes on campus. Now that's 10 schools in the SEC of 14 that have made that type of announcement. What do you make of that news? Where is this going? Why is this coming out in early May? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I think we're also seeing, you know, some schools talk about, you know, plans for, you know, for football with fans in the stands. But, I mean, I still take all this stuff as that's the plan, right? Let's see how it goes. You know, I mean, obviously there's a business reason to put this stuff out there. Let's wait and see, and let's hope that things go in the direction we need them to go for that to actually materialize. But obviously, Darren, you know, you look at this and you think about the possibility, and I know there's been a lot of talk about this, about, you know, some schools being open for business on playing football and maybe some on their schedules that aren't, and then how would that look? And there's just so many variables right now, so many things up in the air. I'm still just kind of taking it all in and hoping that news continues to improve.
Yeah, I just feel like it's heading toward there's going to be college football this fall. I believe that's why that's coming out. Now, what is it going to look like? What are the rules going to be? I don't know. I suspect, like, the NFL is, look, they really haven't waffled on anything. They're like, yeah, we're doing the draft. Oh, that's crazy. You shouldn't do the draft. Yeah, well, they did the draft, and guess what? They benefited big time. You know, we're training camp. They kind of feel, you know, they're putting it out there, business as usual. I don't know how they're going to do that. So let's say the fans, I think there was the model about the Dolphins, 65,000
right.
seat stadium, you know, 15, 20,000. So it's about a 25 to 30% capacity. I guess the interesting part to me is, let's say in Alabama you hold 100,000. Well, let's say you reach out to your 100,000 people and say, who really wants to come during these times, though? And you get 100,000 responses of, yeah, we're in. Okay, who gets the tickets then?
Yeah.
know, Clemson, right, Ohio
exactly.
State. Yeah, who gets the tickets? So you allow 30,000 in of the 100. Okay, who gets to come in? And so, look, those are problems probably at this point you welcome, but I will be curious to see if it is moving forward and going that direction, how they're going to do it.
Yeah, no, and the Dolphins plan is really interesting. And, you know, obviously for – you think about college football, I mean, those luxury boxes, I mean, because, you know, my first instinct is, well, the people who give the money are the ones who get in the stadium, right? But,
right.
you know, they'll be in boxes anyway, so – I guess you could look at it like, well, gee, if the supply has been cut down that much and the demand is that high, like, does that affect the price? I mean, maybe on the secondary market, you know, for a big game. But that's also if people are comfortable enough. You know, I still have questions about, you know, where we'll be and will that many people be comfortable enough being in that situation. And then also, you know, you have that, like you said, Darren, you know, schools – talking about coming back, I mean, that's got to be part of college football happening. But then what happens when one guy gets the virus on a team, you know, and then what's the reaction to that? How dramatic is the reaction to that? I mean, you can quarantine that guy, but then how many of his teammates got it in practice, or how many guys from the other team got it in the game? You didn't. I mean, it's just, I think the one answer for all this stuff has to be obviously like way more testing and repetitive testing to make sure that the environments are clean.
Yeah. We had Christian Fulton on the show yesterday, Titans second-round pick from LSU, which they were thrilled to get. The cornerback, they also signed Jonathan Joseph from the Texans, and it was pretty clear. In fact, I even said in the interview yesterday, I introduced him as wearing number 26, and we had Buzz Peterson on right after him because I wanted to see how Willie and Chase would react to that afterwards because, right away when you saw the Titans – put out there the numbers. I mean, the first thing that jumped out at me is, oh, he's going to wear 26. Well, I mean, I think at least I did. I felt like that was already them drafting Fulton, bringing in Joseph. That was already the end for Logan Ryan anyway, but you could tell that was it. What are you surprised? And then he made it official on his social media. What do you make of kind of the way the whole Logan Ryan thing played out and what he said?
I thought it just meant Logan Ryan was switching to number 8, but apparently I was wrong on that.
Wow!
I'm sorry. I think by the time we got to this week, no big surprise. I mean, I think the draft kind of told the story that they were moving on, and it's interesting because I think Logan Ryan was one of the best players they had on defense last year overall, his all-around play. He did so much for them. I think you have to put so much value on what he does pre-snap for them, and as a blitzer, as a tackler, just as an all-around, he's just a playmaker. Now, of course, we also saw him when he was forced outside when they were banged up, and you saw that's where he gets exposed. I mean, he's getting older. He can't run with the fastest receivers in the league. You bring in Christian Fulton, and you have clearly upgraded your speed. I mean, if you go back and look at Fulton, especially in that Alabama game against Judy and Ruggs, running with those guys, it was impressive. I mean, he brings much-needed speed and overall, I think, ability to the position. But there's still a big loss with the cerebral aspects of the game. And then in the locker room, too, I would consider Logan Ryan. There's a lot of really good leaders leaving. Jarrell Casey, Delanie Walker. I think Wesley Woodyard. I don't expect him back. I mean, you could make the case Logan Ryan was right at the top. I mean, it's hard to Casey and Walker had been around a lot longer, but in a short period of time. I mean, he and Kevin Byard really kind of ran that DB room. So that's a lot you're giving up. But the bottom line is that price tag was too big, and in this league, you've got to be able to, churn some things out and bring in some younger, cheaper talent at different spots.
Can I ask you, where did the price tag story come out? Where did that originate? How did we know that Logan Ryan was not going to take less than what he made on his last deal?
It's a really good question, and I don't know. I mean, I think all those stories originate with agents, but I don't recall, as you're asking me that, like where that initially came out. But I mean,
because I feel like that was a bad play, right? That's been a bad card laid. Wherever that came from, if that came from him, that's why I'm asking, because I don't remember how we learned of this. To me, it's been a bad card played. I don't think it helped him at all.
I mean, I think that's a fair point. And again, I think anytime you see something like that, you assume it comes from the agent side of things. I'll tell you though, I would have expected that someone would be okay with that based on his body of work. And, he's still got some good years left in him. I would have expected that, that number to me, I thought, boy, I don't know if the Titans are going to go there again. They went 3 for 30 with him. I just don't know if they're going to be good keeping him at 10 plus. But I would have expected on the open market that someone else would have done that. That's how free agency is. I mean, guys get overpaid all the time. He's still a good football player. I think it really must have hurt him a lot. I mean, you can pick out games and parts of games last year where he got exposed in coverage, and that must have hurt him a lot more than I would have figured. I still think his overall body of work was awfully impressive, but, yeah, you got to run at that position.
I'll be curious to see what he ends up getting and where, of course. Joe Rexroad is with us with The Athletic. And, Joe, I know we're all getting creative here in what we're putting out there for content. I do want to ask you, you know, what those discussions are like at The Athletic. I've enjoyed your variety of topics here. I'm still waiting for, though, the article on the 80s Jack Morris. Joe is in a league with us, guys, with the simulated baseball from the 70s and 80s. These are the best players with their best seasons in the decade of the 70s and 80s. Jack Morris, last I checked, was the winningest pitcher in the 1980s in real life. But in this league, he's currently 2-14 with a 7.19 ERA. Joe, what's going on?
There's about to be a full investigation, Willie. I'm telling you, man. And, you know, I picked 1986 Jack Morris. That was really his best year of the 80s. And like you said, he's the winningest pitcher of the 80s. He was terrific all decade. I guess I should have just gone 84 Morris. He threw the no-hitter that year, and they won the World Series. But I was like, okay, well, 86 was the best year. You can pick guys in whatever season of the decade. And apparently that was a big mistake. I don't know, but... I mean, this has got a course correct at some point, right? I mean, I keep waiting for it. I mean, he was like 0-9 or something when he got his first win. So, that's very troubling. But no, as far as The Athletic, we've tried to people are just throwing ideas out there. We've had some really good ideas for what we call blitzes. So it's like, okay, let's do a movie blitz. So you have the ranking of movies, but also different stories about, you know, related to sports movies and things like that. I wrote one on my favorite player, of course. I had to get in some love for Isaiah Thomas. You know, we got the do-over series this week. I wrote today about Derek Dooley and what if the ball's got a do-over on that. So there's a lot of different things in sports. John Glennon had a good one on, you know, Eddie George. What if he never left for Dallas? You know, would he have had enough numbers staying here to push him over the top and into the Hall of Fame? I think it's an interesting question. So, you know, it's just trying to – we got more to come. You're trying to be creative while still, you know, luckily we have the draft and things like that and movement and college basketball and name, image, likeness. I mean, there's stuff going on, but, yeah, try to come up with things to just supplement and give subscribers as much as possible.
Joe, as you can imagine, we have – by the way, you guys are doing a great job with that. I've enjoyed reading, and I know the three of us are always passing along articles that you guys have been writing and everybody on the athletic staff nationally. But, Joe, this is something that you've written about that's right in our wheelhouse because we've been arguing back and forth. I've always been – a defender of Corey Davis, and I'm to the point where I'm past, you know, where you were drafted. At this point, you know, it's you are what you are, and you have to decide what the guy is worth going forward. But unfortunately, you know, his fifth-year option is tied directly to where he was drafted, so even I can't justify $15.7 million. But I think you wrote along the same lines as I did. Somewhere in here, there's the right price for Corey Davis. He's going to have an opportunity. How would you approach it if you were the Titans?
Yeah, exactly. And I agree. I mean, I think Corey Davis has been a solid player, and I know people roll their eyes at the whole, you know, blocking downfield for receiver, but in this offense, you kind of need that, you know? And you can go back and trace some big plays Derrick Henry has had and find Corey Davis blocks that were huge parts of those plays, and you can find receivers who wouldn't do that. So, you know, you got to take that in mind. I mean, the thing about Corey Davis is he, you know, in terms of his presence on the team and work ethic and all that stuff, you know, there's no complaints from the Titans. But like you said, I mean, you can't justify paying Corey Davis $15 million plus, 15.7 or whatever it is, after a 43-catch, 600-yard season. So it's going to be really interesting. I really think absolutely signing up to be reliant on him this year. They didn't draft anyone. They let Tajae Sharp go. You know, they've got Khalif Raymond and Cam Batson will come back, but it's really Brown, Humphreys, Davis. And Davis is going to have an opportunity to produce this year. And I think he and Tannehill, you would think, would be able to build better chemistry. This situation globally doesn't help that right now, because they'd be, you know, throwing back and forth at this point. But I think he can have a better year. And then if he does, you know, what does that mean? I mean, a lot of times guys don't get that option and they're resolved to go elsewhere. I think some of that was true with Jack Conklin, you know, and looking back at how that all went down. But if the Titans are in a situation where they're like, oh, shoot, we'd like to sign this guy, then that bodes well for 2020, that's for sure.
I got one more, and then Chase, I know, has a question or two for you here. I see where Vanderbilt has picked up a grad transfer, a starter from Arizona State, who looks like he can really help them, which tells me, number one, that they've figured out some things with grad transfers, because that's been a problem for their basketball team, and it shouldn't be at Vanderbilt. That should be a strength for sure. But so that was the good news. The bad news is, of course, Saban Lee has decided that he's going to stay in the pro ranks and go regardless of what happens here. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, Willie, yeah, and that's so you're talking about LaMelo White from Arizona State, which is a really nice pickup. And yeah, that's always the thing with Vanderbilt. You know, essentially, it's like it's just really hard to get into grad school at Vanderbilt. I mean, look, on one hand, you look at it like, hey, that's actually how college is supposed to be. It's hard to get into grad school, so you can't just pick up grad transfers. But at the same time, yeah, if you're trying to be competitive, you know, you'd like to be able to have that as an avenue. I mean, it's such a bigger part of the game now. So that's big for Vanderbilt to pick him up. And yet, you know, on Saban Lee, even when he announced, I mean, it felt like a goodbye. And I almost thought, gosh, I wonder if he's, like, going to transfer if things don't work out. But obviously he's all in. You know, Saban Lee can go on a court with anyone in that league and match up athletically. You know, I mean, he will not – I mean, he can hold his own. I thought Stackhouse got such improvement out of him, and I really thought one more year together would have been terrific for Saban Lee. You know, he's never going to be a great jump shooter, but that's got to get better. I'm going to be really interested to see how this works out. I do think as an athlete, as a change of pace, point guard off the bench, as a guy that who should be a great defender and you can – kind of bring in and find a role for him. I think eventually probably some G League time and he can find his way in the league. But it is too bad for Vanderbilt, because I really thought with him and Pippen coming back and then, you know, Cleavon Brown back, some of the other guys, young guys who Dylan Dessou, I think, is going to be a really nice player. Thought they could have, you know, really been a surprise team next year. And obviously they're going to be just a very different looking team now.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic is here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And going back to the Titans, Joe, we've obviously addressed wide receiver, different things that John Robinson tried to do in the offseason, and I know Darren's going to agree with this next question. I still have concern with the backup quarterback. You got Tannehill locked up, but the guy has been hurt at times in his career. There are injury concerns, and nothing against Cole McDonald or Logan Woodside, but I just don't have a high confidence level in those guys being the backup quarterback and having to come in and win games. If it comes to that, where are you on that, and where do you think the Titans are on that?
Well, I agree, Chase, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, there are some veterans out there. I mean, look, I've had the dream of Bortles to Nashville for a while. He's still on the market, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Hey.
No.
Look, I mean,
no.
People make,
as a backup.
No Bortles?
No.
Well, hey, look, people can make fun of Bortles, and it's very easy to do. But I would feel more comfortable with Blake Bortles giving me a chance to win one game than a rookie coming in, or even as much as Logan Woodside has improved, I feel more comfortable with Blake Bortles there too. If not him, is there another veteran out there they can pay and essentially make it a Cole McDonald versus Logan Woodside battle, you know, to be the three? I think that's possible, but
Jameis,
I also think it's tied to the –
If Jameis Winston can sign for $1 million and Andy Dalton for $3 million, couldn't they give Joe Flacco like a bag of footballs and some gift cards and have him come in?
I mean, that'd be really good.
Hattie B's gift cards or something.
The thing is, they may not even have Hattie B's gift cards available. They may not even have that much cap room if they sign Jadeveon Clowney. You know, I mean, that's that's the thing, too, when you're trying to put the whole puzzle together. It's like, how much to the limit and how much moving things around do you have to do, you know, to make that possible? And then what does that do for stuff like that? I know John Robinson's huge on giving himself some room. I mean, he's made some really significant moves in, you know, camp a lot. So you know, you keep that take that into account as well. But I think it would be absolutely beneficial for them to find one of those guys. Flacco would be, I think, a terrific choice if you could get him for a decent price.
It's a copycat league, though, Joe, and we've seen what the Eagles did. They brought in Jalen Hurts, drafted him, and there are going to be packages that they're going to use similar to how New Orleans uses Taysom Hill. We saw it some here last year with Marcus Mariota, that they would put Mariota in on certain plays. I know Cole McDonald could possibly have some of that ability, but do you think that's something else they're looking at when they're evaluating a backup quarterback, finding somebody that they can – you know, they have design plays in the offense?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a nice thing if you have it. And it was, I think it was one of those things where, well, hey, Mariota's a great athlete. He's been a great teammate through this. Keep him engaged. You know, he can throw teams off a little bit and have a little package. You're right. It's a copycat league, but I don't know if we're going to see like a rash of teams out there trying to make those choices so that they can have, you know, a guy like that, a Swiss Army knife. I mean, I think it's great if you have it. Cole McDonald is a terrific athlete, so you're right. If he, you know, if he earns his way onto the team, then maybe he could be used in that way. But I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised if they're on the front end looking at it that way, you know? I mean, give Derrick Henry the ball, play action pass, keep Ryan Tannehill clean, and win football games.
Joe, we've got to ask you, since we haven't, what have your thoughts on The Last Dance?
I've liked it, you know, and look, I'm a full disclosure. I was not a Michael Jordan fan. I grew up a Pistons fan. Isaiah Thomas, like my favorite athlete ever. So, you know, I grew up rooting hard against Jordan and enjoying the Pistons beating him in three of the four series they played him in the playoffs. And then screaming at the TV when, like, the other night when they had, like, you know, the Suns are up four and Jordan goes coast to coast with, like, 40 seconds left, you know, to cut two. I mean, I was like, I remember screaming at the TV, like, stop the ball. Also, if Jordan has the ball, really, stop the ball. The Knicks, you know.
Yeah,
Charles
run three guys
a layup. What's that?
Yeah, you got to run two or three guys at him. Make him give it up in that situation. That was a terrible loss by the Suns. Underrated loss.
I mean, the Suns and I think the Jazz in the second time should have won those series, but they didn't. They give credit. I've really enjoyed the doc. I haven't learned a ton from it. I think people our age, you know, we knew a lot of or most of this stuff. I do love the footage from 97, 98. I wish this was not something there where Jordan had final edit, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that weakens it a little bit. But still, I mean, I'm engrossed. And honestly, I thought they treated the Pistons pretty fairly. I just wish Isaiah Thomas would be like Jordan and look in the camera and admit that he hates Jordan, because Jordan is more than happy to tell us how much he hates Isaiah Thomas.
Because he comes off as a phony.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I think they were really mad at the stuff Jordan was saying about how they were saving basketball by beating the Pistons. And again, if you watch the NBA at that time, the Pistons were far from the only team beating people up at the rim. Now, you know, Morin and Lambeer are a special brand of nasty, but, you know, they were really ticked about that. And I would.
But at least Lambeer, at Lambeer is being himself. You know what I mean? He's coming out saying, no, I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Do it again. Be yourself. Isaiah just comes off as a phony. That's just my opinion.
Well, no, I've been disappointed because I think it's very much a damage control situation with him. And it's like, hey, man, you know, I love this stuff. Seeing how intense the dislike was back then, and he felt that every bit of that for Jordan. So just admit it.
Yeah. Joe, good stuff. Really appreciate it. Continue to be safe with the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. We'll be back. A little rat bringing us back here on.
Do we have
Darren
a rat problem?
Donick and Chase. Do I have a what?
Do we have a rat problem? Have you guys seen that commercial?
Oh, yeah.
How funny is that? Isn't that a good one?
Funny, yeah.
And then the other people have a clogging problem?
Yeah.
You can always rely on those guys for some good. Those insurance people come up with good ads, but they still have the cutting edge. For people that haven't seen it, be on the look for it, especially
and we,
if you,
and we know how you
appreciate
feel about cutting
rap.
Edge.
That's cutting edge.
You were all about cutting edge.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tune. I had that. I had the tape. I had the cassette.
Oh.
Under the out of the cellar.
I had a warped cassette out of the cellar. I played that
really?
So much.
I wonder if I can still dig that out. I've got a big box of old cassettes that don't get used much anymore, but it's probably got a lot of dust on it, but I think it might still be functional.
Up in my attic, I've got boxes and boxes of VHS tapes. What do you do with those now?
Yeah. I still have a VHS player. I do.
Like plugged up and functioning?
Yeah. I don't use it very often, but it's there.
I was about to say, do you use
why
it
would
at
you,
all?
Why would you have it plugged up, taking up space?
Because it's been there for years and he just hasn't gotten around
just,
to removing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just still hooked up. It's been hooked up for years.
When's the last time you used your VHS player?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the high school basketball thing that I've been involved with, they wanted a couple of plays of footage. And so I had to go digging, and that caused me to go through my old tapes, which happened to be in my basement. And so I dug it out of there and sent them a couple of things. I just recorded it off the TV. So that's the last. So just recently I did, but it probably been a couple of years. Aaron likes to use and watch some old movies that she has on VHS that she'll pop in there every now and then, but very, very rarely.
Like, she will watch a VHS movie.
Yeah, if she doesn't have it, she has a couple that are not available on DVR or whatever the modern ways of doing it. Even DVDs. We rarely watch DVDs anymore. I still got a bunch of those, too.
Don't you have on demand that you can go, like, watch
yeah,
any movie
yeah,
you
that's
want
what
now?
We do. 99% of what we do is that now.
Okay.
But the thing's still hooked up, so you can use it if needed.
I figured your answer would be the last time you used it was the last time you walked out of a Blockbuster video with a movie in your hand.
Now, that would be a great documented thing. When is the last time you went and rented even a DVD?
I was in college.
How
well,
long
I do,
would that have been?
Now, wait a minute. I still do Redbox, everyone.
Well,
before
true.
All this, now I've done.
So you still do the Redbox?
Before quarantine, yes, a lot, because we didn't do. Well, we had Netflix, but we just never, like, we're now watching all these shows, and we didn't watch shows. We didn't have time to get into shows. So, you know, Ozark had been out for 3 years. I'd never seen Ozark one episode. Now, you know, I wish season 4 was out right now. But, you know, none of that stuff, we didn't ever watch that stuff because we didn't have the time to watch that stuff. So, yeah, every once in a while we would go get a Blu-ray DVD from Redbox. Yeah. Because it's the newer movies.
Yeah,
you know,
I've done
stuff
that.
Just,
I don't do it a
just
lot.
Left the theater, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. I just
but
never,
we haven't
I didn't
done
do
it during this.
Often.
We haven't done it during all this.
Yeah,
okay.
Blockbuster
video,
so let's take Redbox. Let's take Redbox out of it. How many years has it been since a Blockbuster existed? I can still remember where the Blockbuster was in my neighborhood, and we did go there for a while, but I would hesitate to try to figure out what year it might have been. Maybe 08, 09? Did we get into the 2010s and still have those stores even available?
I don't think so. I don't remember the
think
year.
So. I feel like 2009, because there was, in Murfreesboro, there was one right down from my house. And so when I moved into my condo in Murfreesboro, I went there a lot. And in probably one of the reasons of, you know, why they went under, because late fees and all that. But, yeah, so, and I remember when it closed, because they had video games, you know, cheap, marked down, that I went in and bought a few. So I want to say that was around 2009.
Just whenever the last time the Dolphins were good, that was the last time Blockbuster stores were up and running.
Wow.
So whenever that was.
So that goes
further back. Throw that in there, huh?
What? Was that too soon?
That might go into the 90s.
Care,
they haven't been good since the 90s?
Well, not really good. When's the last really good Dolphins team, honestly?
Probably the team that lost 68-3 to the Jags in 99.
Yeah, so that was the 90s. Yeah, that was Dan Marino.
Joe,
last
on our
game, right?
Joe on our text line. I feel like this joke should be directed at me, but he says, Willie keeps the VCR plugged in to be able to watch the last Cowboys Super Bowl. I kind of think that should go my direction. But.
I was going to say, that was maybe he was trying to work in two shots?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that was definitely directed toward your Cowboys. Wow.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's been a minute. We were probably watching VHS the last time the Cowboys were making a deep run.
You know
playoffs.
What hit me last night? That two of my teams, the last time they won championships were back-to-back years. The Braves in 95 and the Cowboys in, well, the 95 season, Cowboys in 96. So it was the same season.
Let's go to Larry. Larry has been waiting patiently. Larry, what's up?
Hi, I've got some alternatives for your VHS dilemma.
Okay.
Costco has a service. Unfortunately, it's closed down now due to the virus. That's pretty reasonable, converting your VHS tapes to either thumb drives or DVDs. And the other option is a company called Legacy that you can get on the Internet. But I'm going to a guy in Brentwood, free plug for him, the Transfer Lab. I was talking to him, and I was kind of peeved that he didn't answer the phone when I called him. And he said his wife had a stroke due to the COVID-19. So I felt like a real turkey getting worked up about why he didn't answer the phone.
Wow.
But I've got something else for you. About a week ago, you were saying how bad the record for the Bengals was compared to, say, the Titans franchise. And I looked up the 10-year record for both franchises, and the Titans franchise in the last 10 years has a considerably worse record than the Bengals did. So,
Larry, I don't know who you're directing. I don't remember anybody on this show saying that.
Well, I'm sure it was maybe the previous group of guys that were on there, but the comment I think was made by Darren that said, "What a dismal franchise," referring to the Bengals.
Yeah, we're not responsible for what Jared says, so you'd have to take that up with him. We
no,
take
no
I responsibility.
I said Darren, not Jared.
Oh, I'm Darren. Sorry. You're a little. It's been hard to hear. Are you guys having a hard time?
It's a little muffled.
Larry? Okay, it's a little muffled. Yeah,
yeah. You said something, Darren, along those lines. I don't remember exactly what you said, but I remember that conversation.
That
I we were
said
talking
that
about Andy Dalton, I think.
Yeah,
we?
it was
okay,
something along the lines with that.
But I mean, I know what the Titans have been like the last decade, and it hasn't been good. And I said, I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, and people sometimes forget the fact we talk about a lot of different things, so it kind of runs together sometimes. So I don't remember specifically the words that came out of your mouth.
If anybody can remember, just tell me. I would like to know what I said. I don't remember saying that the Bengals were. I think I've made references to the Bengals have been kind of the laughing stock for a long period of time. They've never been a good organization overall.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. That's what it was. That's what it was. You said they had never been a good, and they haven't. So, yeah, I think that's what he's referring to.
And his point was they've had a better record in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, I was actually defending it. By the way, I was actually defending Andy Dalton.
Sure.
But I think my point was overall, more times than not, the Bengals have been known for bungling. Right?
Yeah, I think you were giving Andy Dalton some credit for elevating a franchise that really hasn't had a lot of success. Although this was something I think we brought to the table too. Mel Kiper pointed out that if you look at the number of 10-win seasons, because the problem with the Bengals more recently in this century has been not converting their good seasons in the regular season into playoff success, right? They just haven't won playoff games. It's been a long time since they've done that. But in actuality, they've had more good regular seasons than a lot of teams, way more than you would think, because the reputation is worse than the actual results.
Yeah. Larry, I wasn't avoid. I honestly was having a hard time. It was very muffled, so
yeah.
I was having a hard. My hearing isn't great to begin with.
Well, also, let's give him
a hard time understanding.
What's that?
We really appreciate his thing about the tapes too. The conversion.
Yes,
that's a great idea. In fact, we were just having this conversation as I was digging through these VHS tapes. I got a bunch of them in file cabinets in the basement right now, and I just had a conversation with my parents too. We were talking about all these old 8mm tapes and stuff. Like, we were thinking about how do you get these transferred into something that's much more practical and easy to watch now. So that was good stuff.
Very much so.
It's important.
And he said that was a place in Brentwood. Is that what he? Once again,
yeah.
I had a
did
hard
he say
time.
Did he say transfer lab? I was trying to make. Is that what he said? The transfer lab.
Yeah, that sounded right.
Okay.
I think I have heard of that place.
And
before.
He said there's equipment at Costco you could get.
Yep.
Interesting. I did not.
I'd love to know more details.
Yeah,
on that
I would like to,
because I need to do that. Our family needs to do that.
There's probably two of the three on the show that could would like some information on that. I've got boxes and boxes of VHS tapes, and you've got a VHS still hooked up.
It still works. It works.
Still works. And Aaron's still watching VHS movies.
Willie, you fascinate.
How's the
me.
Quality, by the way?
It's not great.
Yeah.
You know what's funny
gets
now?
Gets the job done.
When I see like video editing software or on Instagram or Snapchat or something like that, that now there is a filter where you can make all this 4K high-def video actually look like a VHS. It cracks me up that people use those filters all the time. I'm like, yeah, I want it to look like the 80s or 90s. Like, why? Why?
Why understand. Would you do that?
That is true. They do it.
Do you have the guitar handy today?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because I think we need to wish somebody a happy birthday maybe on the other side.
Okay.
Can you do that? Can you?
Yeah, I can get the chords.
You can maybe play that for our friend in Finland?
I can try. I can do that, yeah. Just give me a second.
We'll do that on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. That's not Chase on vocals or the guitar. Just a heads up. That would be cool if it was, though.
I know a lot of you,
and we know a lot of you, are working from home during this pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. You can download the Game Nashville app. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home. You can ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream it from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Also, during this time, Crown Royal and us here at ESPN 102.5 The Game would like to raise a toast to our heroes who are serving on the front lines to protect our communities. Thank you for your sacrifice. You're the definition of true royalty. For those at home, stay home for these heroes, because nothing says generosity like staying home to protect others when you can. You can join us every day at 4 p.m. as we raise a toast to our heroes. Connect with us on social media or text us at 615-737-1025 and tell us about your heroes. Cheers, Crown Royal. Remember, you must drink responsibly and be 21 years of age or older. A friend of the show who listens in Finland, and I always feel like I'm going to butcher her name, but I'm just going to go with Savannah. I don't know how to properly pronounce her name. Is it Savannah? Do you guys feel good about that? Do you feel like I'm way off?
I think you're off. This is not a city in Georgia.
Okay. I that's why I always hesitate. Because
Suviana? I think Suviana is what I would
Suviana,
say.
Suviana, Savannah. Yeah. I don't
it's not
know.
Savannah.
Why?
Where do you see Savannah? S-U-V-I. Where do you see Savannah?
Finland,
there?
That may be Savannah. I'm just saying. Suviana?
Now, when you pronounce, you see hockey players from Finland all the time. It's usually pretty close to what it looks like spelling. S-U-V-I-A-N-A would be Suviana, right?
Where's Pekka when you need him to ask him? You know?
Finland?
Is he in Finland?
I have no
idea.
Pekka's here.
I think Yussi's in Finland.
Yussi is over there.
Yeah.
So today is her
birthday. Suviana Tuomisto.
Is that what you're going with? Is that your final answer?
That would be my guess. Not hearing. Now, remember, Suviana, I think she actually sent us the true pronunciation of Mikhail Granlund.
Correct. She did. If she could do that for her name, that would be awesome. But today is her birthday. And on your birthday, even though I did not do a good job of saying your name, in fact, I failed, according to Willie.
Darren's headed
for Georgia. Is it that crazy? Is it that crazy? I get maybe so. Chase,
is there an I in Savannah?
No, but it's Finland. It's not Savannah here. She doesn't live in Louisiana. She lives in Finland. So
when you see Kimmo Tiiminen, do you not pronounce the I?
Yeah, you do. You've made your point. It's not Savannah.
Suviana, that's what we're going with.
Suviana. We will go with Suviana on her birthday. She also says George Clooney shares the same birthday with her. So, Chase, if you could do the honors and play her a little birthday song. Suviana. Happy birthday.
There you
All
go.
Right.
On the fly.
Nice job, Chase. Pretty good.
Had to pull up the
Very
tab.
Good.
But on
Very
the
good. Well done, Chase.
Happy birthday.
Now, is there anything else you would like to play her, like that you're a little bit more comfortable?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Unless I don't know what kind of music she likes.
What have you been working on?
George Clooney, that's a good one to share a birthday with because I love George Clooney. So what have I been working on? Really a lot of the same stuff. I haven't played as much this week.
You have not.
And I tried to get I don't know. I have to launch an investigation because I was going to play on the electric because it's just been sitting right here next to everything and it won't work for some reason. So that's not good. I don't know why. I blame Sawyer.
When in doubt, we've learned on this show, blame Sawyer or Stanley.
Yeah, and Stanley's not here, so there's only one to blame.
Yeah.
So there you
go.
So
happy birthday, Suviana. We appreciate you listening. Maybe one day we'll get to meet you at Bridgestone Arena at a Preds game. That'll be awesome.
I cannot wait to be back
yeah.
there.
Well, we're going to get her to the game. If she makes it here, we're going to get her into the game.
Oh,
sure.
There's no doubt about that. But when she can plan that trip to Nashville, we'll make it happen. It'll be a lot of fun. When we come back, we are going to indeed talk about the University of Tennessee announcing today that their intentions, their plans, are to have classes in the fall on campus. We can also touch a little bit more on Logan Ryan and Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney, like Tua, has released a video.
Aww.
Say, man, don't you want to sign this? I am healthy and ready to go. Which tells me, usually when the video is getting released, I don't know, desperate may be a strong word, but let's just say starting to maybe get a little uncomfortable in their camp.
Marketing ploy?
Because they haven't signed. Well, it's very clear that they're sitting here in May going, how is nobody signed?
Why am I not signed?
Why am I not signed? I'm Jadeveon Clowney. Are you kidding me? So maybe it's a little uneasy right now in the Clowney camp. So we'll get into all that in hour number 3 of Darren Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.